When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley and Shaka Hiss. That will kick things off at Anfield. It was a big game in England, wasn't it? Liverpool taking on Chelsea in the end. Liverpool were absolutely dominant. They were brilliant throughout. Jota would open the scoring, then young Bradley would make it 2-0. Szoboszlai made it 3 and Kunku got one back. Then Diaz scored late on to give Liverpool all 3 points. By the way, Nunez hit the post, a Premier League record 4 times in that tie, a result that means it's still 5 points to separate Liverpool and City at the top of the table, with City beating Burnley earlier in the day. Well, Frank LaBeouf joins us, but Craig, I want to start with you. Liverpool are so good at the moment. We're just changing some things around in the studio. It's magic chairs going on. If you can hear the squeaking, that's very subtle. Here we go. That's done. Perfect.
Craig's back. That's Craig's back squeaking you were here now. Yeah,
exactly. Why did you have to swap chairs?
What it was, somebody was bringing me my notes.
Really? Frank LaBeouf joins us.
It's all this written down here. It said, please change chairs before the live show.
Right, shut up. Right, let's get on with this. Liverpool then with a 4-1 victory. Liverpool are so good at the moment, Craig.
Yeah, and Chelsea are so bad.
Yeah.
This nonsense about Chelsea are on they're on a reasonable run, they're on a winning streak. Yeah, they played nobody, literally played no top teams. Beat Newcastle in the cup, but that was penalties and a gift from Kieran Trippier. We'll get to Chelsea in a bit, but yeah, Liverpool. You know, Szoboszlai back, Jota's form, Nunez he hit the post 4 times.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
I was switching chairs at the time. but there was a squeak in my ear. I never heard it. Hit the post 4 times. Should have been on the score sheet. Created for others, as he does. And then you got the young boy, Conor Bradley, who, he was just excellent going down that side. But Ben Chilwell on the left-hand side, giving the ball away for the first. And then his position for the Conor Bradley goal, from a throw-in, he stood next to Badiashile, having a wrestling match with Diego Jota, leaving an acre of space. He has no need to be tucked in so far. So, from all that, it played into Liverpool's hands. And, yeah, they're playing great. They're scoring goals. They're coping with Mo Salah being away.
Yep.
Youngsters are coming in and doing well. The experienced players are coming back. Andrew Robertson came on as well, and Trent Alexander-Arnold came on. It's the effect of Jurgen Klopp, as I thought at this moment in time, leaving has gone the positive way, not the negative.
Yeah, very much so. And then we'll talk about Chelsea in a moment, but Frank. But if you're a Liverpool fan at the moment, you are loving everything you're seeing from your side.
Definitely, because they have some injuries. They have big injuries. Some players came back, like Robertson, Trent Alexander-Arnold in the second half. But the player they were in their position were absolutely fantastic. I mean, I discovered Conor Bradley. The guy had 2 assists, if we can consider that the first pass for Jota is an assist. And a wonderful goal. Even if he slips, he can carry on and score that goal. He was absolutely fantastic. Defensively did the job, and he was working hard up front. Jota is on fire. We have to say the truth. The guy is really on fire right now. So it's like we don't feel that Salah is not here. It's like we don't feel that Robertson just came back and Trent Alexander-Arnold too. In the middle of the park, they do the job. McAllister is there. Van Dijk and Konate are absolutely fantastic, tremendous. I feel that there is a real cohesion between the players. And it's like what Jurgen Klopp just said like a week ago made them even better. They want to fight for him. There is a unity that I can feel there, that they are quite invincible, especially when they play against a team like Chelsea right now, which is very, very poor.
They got this swagger, they got this belief, and the great thing is when you've got someone like Conor Bradley coming in, Shaka, who puts in that sort of performance. I know you're waxing lyrical about his
finish. It really was. I mean, the finish for his goal, I thought really was special. The way he hit it, how crisply he hit it, kept it very low. No goalkeeper wants to deal with that. His all-round play, I thought, was just simply outstanding. You have to love everything you're seeing about Liverpool right now. And while, yes, Chelsea didn't do any favours in terms of making it difficult for Liverpool, to the point where, and Craig certainly commented on this at the time, Jurgen Klopp is making changes with 20, 25 minutes to go. The game's won. That's how comfortable it felt. And now, while you could hear Chelsea fans, well, those who want to be optimistic for whatever reason, saying, well, had that penalty been given on Nkunku, that makes it 3-2, and maybe things change. But Jurgen Klopp is sitting so comfortably on that sideline, given everything that he's seeing, that he's giving players a rest. 20 minutes ago, what does that say? When we're talking about a team like Chelsea, one of the usual suspects in terms of who finishes at the very least top four. But for Liverpool, I'm going to join Craig in saying that everything you've seen. 2 weeks ago, it was, how will they cope without Mo Salah? A week ago, it was, well, Jurgen Klopp is leaving. How are they going to react? And now, and if this is anything to go by, and again, opponent apart, you have to love the response of everybody.
So that was the positive? Well, should we talk about the negative?
I tell you what, it doesn't bode well for the Carabao Cup final.
Well, of course, yeah.
Which we have, which is Chelsea-Liverpool, which means he's got a lot of thinking to do. Not just for this cup final, but between now and then. I mean, he took Conor Gallagher off. And then he took Caicedo off. He could have done it in any way he wanted. I mean, he could have taken any of the midfield off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He takes Madueke off. I mean, let's go through what he had to do here. He took Madueke off. He put Sterling on the right. He then brought Modric on the left. He shifted Cole Palmer back in for Conor Gallagher. He put De Sassi, the right back, back to centre back. He put a centre back at left back. He took Chilwell off, and he brought Malo Gusto on. I mean, that's. I mean,
you did well. I was really hoping for you to fall at some point.
I know you were. And I was. My brain was going there, racking my brain. And that's what he did.
That was a squeaking noise.
That was like rolling. That's how bad it was. He was like rolling everything. It was like a wheel, right? You go there and you go. I mean, honestly, and Badi Ashiel, who's not a left back, and Caldwell's been playing there, he's not a left back. And Chilwell played there as a left back and was terrible. But they're getting caught down in those areas. They're getting caught. And how you can let Diego Jota get through that gap between Silva and Badi Ashiel, I don't know. Shaq?
I can't explain anything about Chelsea. I'll be honest with you. At this point, nothing's... I want to say surprised, but nothing disappoints me with Chelsea anymore.
Because your expectations are so low.
Are so low. And it feels as though we just kind of sit here and have the same criticism for players who cost a lot to turn in any kind of a performance. And from a manager who's very experienced to try and find some kind of solution to what was going on at Chelsea. And we are all seemingly as bemused as Pochettino. Nobody has any answers. And Chelsea just keep turning out these awful performances. Thanks to the schedule they had, all of a sudden they put some results together, and maybe some people thought different, but nothing about the performances suggests that anything is going to get any better. And that's a concern. Where does this turn around for Chelsea?
Yeah.
Or more to the point, how? Given the money they've spent, what can Chelsea do, or how much do they need to spend this summer to have them competing again? Because what we saw there is not an easy fix. It's not a one or two player fix. It's we are talking into 5, 6, maybe even 7 players before Chelsea look anything like a decent.
Well, they've got Thiago Silva at the back, who he's not going to be there long, and he's still one of the stalwarts.
Was he first on the team sheet?
39. What are they going to do? They're going to put, you know, Caldwell might go in there, you know, Badi Ashiel and De Sassi. What, you know, Fofana maybe to come back. Is that filling anybody full of confidence? I mean, he was pretty honest, Pochettino, at the end in one of his interviews about the performance. And that's fair enough. But questions are now going to have to be asked about him. I mean, we're talking about Ten Hag, who, you know, he's a place above. Pochettino, and I know he's been there longer, but we, you know, at the end of the day, I go back to it, but it's true. If this was Potter in charge, without the resume, without, you know, the fact that he's a foreign manager who's managed across a couple of countries and he's got more experience, he would be getting dragged through the coals at the moment. And I think this is going to be a problem for Pochettino, that they're almost in the bottom half of the Premier League with the money that they've spent, with players that we can argue about who's good enough and who's not. They're still better than where they are at the moment, this moment in time. And that performance again, 28 shots allowed by Liverpool, Man United away, who are not a good side, 28 shots they allowed in that game. They are wide open against the better teams. And this midfield, it's over a couple of hundred million, and I know they've got Lavia to come back. He hasn't really played any games, and maybe Liverpool are looking, oh, we dodged a bullet here. Maybe Arsenal are looking, going, Mudrić, we dodged a bullet. Or maybe they're thinking, these teams, you know, we could have utilised those players better. Which one is it? Yeah. I don't know, because none of them...
I think it's the former at the moment.
None of them, yeah. Dan, are performing, particularly Caicedo, like he was at Brighton, where he was fantastic.
Frank, what disappointed you the most from Chelsea today?
Almost everything. Well, defensively, it's the first time I can say that the four at the back, they were nowhere near it. And even if Thiago Silva is better than the others, I found that in the first goal and the last one, he should have done better. Can you imagine that Petrovic had a good had a good game? It could have been worth. I mean, I lost 5-1 at Anfield. It happened the first year with Mr. Burley. Zola wasn't there. But, you know, the record signing was Frank Leboeuf with 2.5 million. It wasn't 100 million. It was 2.5 million. So maybe it weren't that good, but at least it was what it was. It wasn't like expected. What we see right now is the team who doesn't know how to play together. When Nkunku came on, I saw a different player. I saw somebody who knows to play internationally. The other, they don't know. The other are mid-table players. I was insulted by a lady, if we can call that person a lady, on the social network last week because I was harsh on Chelsea. How do you want to be nice on Chelsea right now? What can you find about my former club to say, yes, we can believe, we can do something good? It's awful. It's appalling. It's everything wrong. Nothing's good. I don't know how they can cope in the Carabao Cup final. Yeah, maybe within a month, something's going to go better. We've been waiting for a year and a half to get better. Everything is working in a wrong way. So, yeah, I'm expecting something better. But when you start from so low, yeah, of course, it's going to get better.
How did you turn that into a humble brag about you being the biggest transfer in that Chelsea squad, Frank? That's quite impressive. I suppose if you're a Chelsea fan, as Craig mentioned, you could point to those penalty shouts. What did you think? Let's start off with the Gallagher one really early on, Frank. Did you think this was a penalty?
Yes, it is. I want to put a red card to Mr. Tierney. I think he was playing red today. Yes, we can see that Van Dijk maybe... without doing on purpose, he touched with his knee and he pushes Gallagher. So if you give for a stamp, you give a penalty to Jota, you have to give that one and you have to give another one to Nkunku after that. Yeah, it's a penalty. It's light, but it is what it is right now. And really, I was really stunned that Mr. Chini didn't go to check the VAR. I wouldn't say that would have changed the game. I mean, it would have been maybe a little bit more difficult for Liverpool. But it's only for me fair that there was a penalty for me.
Pochettino, as Craig mentioned, came out and pretty much said the same, didn't he? He said, yeah, we could have had a penalty.
I think he was talking more about the second one.
Yeah, let's take a look at the second one, obviously, which I think, considering you give the Jota one,
yeah, I think
you've got to give this. You're at least going to the monitor.
I'm slightly in the other camp. I don't think the first one was. I just don't think there was much of a challenge, if there was at all. I think there is here. I think this is more clear. When we talk about this nonsense about clear and obvious, which I hate, I think this is pretty clear. And you know, obviously we have VAR. And so he's clumsy, Virgil van Dijk, on this occasion. I think the first one, he stands his ground. I think this one, he's clumsy. And yeah, maybe Nkunku makes a little bit of a meal of it, but that's neither here nor there, really. There's either contact or there's not. And
And I know I certainly... And to be fair to Pochettino, he didn't say these were game changers. He said maybe a bit of bad luck, but we were absolutely garbage, basically, and they were the better side. But I think the general feeling is that probably should have been a penalty.
Your thoughts on both of them, Shaq?
First, not for me. The second, again, just kind of seeing it fresh, with fresh eyes, Van Dijk does catch him. Low down, and Nkunku's, well, really tries to sell it, but I think on review, you give that.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
As I mentioned, Manchester City with a comfortable victory over Burnley, a 3-1 win for the defending champions. Alvarez would get a brace, Rodri then scoring just after half-time. Haaland would come on for the second half. He'd be unable to add to City's tally. It's not really too much to discuss regarding this game, so let's go straight to it. Let's just take a look at how the bookies have the championship set as to who is going on to win it. City remain favourites. Liverpool top of the table, though, of course. City do have that game in hand. 2-1, 6-4 on. I'll tell you what, Frank, this is going to be brilliant, isn't it? What a title race we've got on our hands here.
Yeah, we want that because we have in France or in Germany, well, not this year, but most of the time, you know, one team in front of everybody. And what we want from the Premier League and what we expect with the big club that they're in, it's a big race with contenders and everything. And even if I'm with the bookers, you know, saying that City is favourite, Liverpool are going to show that they're not going to let them go easily. And what's going to happen to Arsenal, we don't know, even if I think they are below the two other teams. But it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be crazy. And it's what we like. We want to go until the last day of the Premier League to see who's going to be the winner.
And both teams at the moment, and we're not forgetting Arsenal, but City and Liverpool playing some football at really high standard.
Yeah, and Arsenal did get better in the second half against obviously a weaker Forest side. But there's certainly more questions about them at this moment in time. But there's no doubt Liverpool are purring. They're dealing with their issues and injuries and absentees. You know, don't forget Endo was playing really well, and he's away. He's away in the Asian Cup. We've got the Mo Salah scenario, got both fullbacks, you've got Matip out, excuse me, with the ACL. So they've coped with that. Mm-hmm. They've coped with the Nunes questions about goals and blah, 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 and Jota's back in. So they have less questions, and I don't think there's many questions about Man City. You know, all the big hitters coming back.
I think that's the thing. You talk about...
it's that time of the day.
Which is maybe you can talk about the injuries and the players that they're missing. It's two really good footballing teams.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about one team that's playing well and another who just knows how to win and is grinding results out and winning ugly. It's two fantastic teams that are playing the kind of football that you can sit back, enjoy, and just beating up on anybody who isn't on their own A game. And that's a joy to watch, because now as you look at fixtures and who's to come and what next, You right now, you don't see anybody beating
You've
either
just been
them.
Talking about your holiday for the last 2 hours.
Yeah, well, when I come back from a holiday, I will look at the schedule again. And, you know, we figure things out. But up until then, you just can't see. You just don't see either of these two teams drop points.
Hold on, we're talking here like talking here as if it's like a two-horse race? Are we...
No. He mentioned Arsenal.
I did mention Arsenal.
He did.
But I think at the moment, if you were going to say which
No, hold on a minute. Is the Premier League winner the team that plays the best?
No.
Or the team that gets the best results?
Well, obviously it's the
latter.
That's a different discussion.
But over
recent years, those two have gone hand in hand, be it City or Liverpool. So that's maybe why we're focusing on this more.
Maybe this is a different year.
I think
Arsenal are strong. I mean, I know you could have watched them yesterday and gone, well, until Jesus got his goal, which, by the way, the keeper, as you well know, threw in, Turner at the near post. You're still looking at that position and going, well, they didn't get somebody's more replacements or somebody to help Nketiah and Jesus. Is that going to bite them in the backside? It might, but I just don't think they're going to go away.
Right.
I don't. And can Liverpool in particular keep this up? That's the question. Can they keep it up? With the energy, with how they play, I'm not ruling Arsenal out.
There we go.
I'm over
Craig.
It's spread to Frank.
Craig, you're coughing right now, so I'm gonna. I'm gonna step up. I think, and we can see for the last three games with De Bruyne coming back little by little, playing the first game from the beginning tonight, it's a huge difference. I mean, everything is becoming perfect from them, you know. Rodri find his position back, score goals like he did in the Champions League final, and the guy De Bruyne distributes what he has done the best, you know. Even on set pieces, they make it perfect. We see that Guardiola was very surprised and went to almost kiss the set pieces coach, and what they did with Alvarez was perfect. The ball that he gave to I think Nunez on the first goal is great. That is the difference. That player makes City being almost perfect, and I don't see any other clubs and any other team in England who can be in that level so high with one guy stepping up.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Spurs were involved in another thriller, this time defeating Brentford by 3-2. And with Aston Villa, of course, losing against Newcastle yesterday, it means that the bookies now have Spurs as favourites to finish in the top four come the end of the season. Frank, do you agree?
I have to say yes, because what they offer offensively is very interesting. And also they have a coach, and I'm not sure I will raise Mr. Emery at the same level of Mr. Postecoglou, because what he did at halftime, I think there was a big talk in the dressing room, and he changed, dramatically changed the way they were thinking the game, the way they were viewing the game. They were different players, and they showed it very, very quickly in the second half. So offensively, they are amazing, but defensively, I saw some bad movements, misunderstandings. They have to be careful with that. I see Aston Villa more structured than Spurs, but the craziness that the Spurs players show and are capable of made me think that they can do better than Aston Villa.
Interesting stuff, actually, from Postecoglou after the game, saying we were chatting to the ref more than we were playing football. We were naive at time, focusing on the wrong things, but that's all part of our growth. He saw that. He didn't like the, you know, all the dart stuff that was going on, the pushing and the shoving and all that sort of
thing. That only helps Brentford. You're at home, you're the favourite, and while Brentford take the lead, I think when things get a little bit needly, as they did, and players kind of sniping at each other, it only benefits the lesser team, in my opinion. I was Brentford on the day. So finally, I'm sure Postecoglou had a lot to say about that at halftime. Play your game, stop worrying about them and their antics, and we'll have the last say, which is ultimately is what you saw from Spurs. I thought you saw a far better second half from Spurs in this one. And it continues to show the effect that Postecoglou is having in growing this team. And to your point, I think we've seen maybe the worst of Spurs, kind of given some of the injuries that they've had to contend with. and they've now come through that. I'm not sure where the end is for Villa and this poor run of form that they're in.
That cough caught on quick, didn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Got all the way to France.
Yeah, I know, exactly. What do you think?
But what?
Spurs versus Villa.
I think it's honestly 6 and 2 threes. I really do. I think it's so tight between the two sides. I think Spurs getting all these players back is a huge bonus for them. Suns to come back as well. If you were to give me choice between two and I had to put money on it, I actually think Tottenham... I've started to worry about Villa recently watching them. I think they've just gone a little bit flat in their performances. Starting, I think, was at Sheffield United at home over the Christmas and New Year period. I just felt they've lost a little bit. They're not defending as well as they were. I think when Longley plays, I think he's got a mistake in him. So I would just edge slightly towards Tottenham as long as they're disciplined. And obviously they've got Bissouma and Sarr to come back as well. That's going to really bolster the midfield, which is a really important area. So I would just go Tottenham.
I just feel Villa lack confidence. Every time I see them, it looks as though they're a team that's just low in confidence. And then to my point about Spurs kind of coming to their worst, even when they had those injuries, even when they weren't playing well, Postecoglou just tucked his guns. This is who we are. We're going to go down fighting. And the team never kind of backed away from that. So now that results have turned around, they're just playing more confidence. And Villa, I'm not sure where that ends.
I think Villa are looking a little tired in the middle of the park because I think those boys have played a lot of games, particularly John McGinn and Douglas Luiz. And if you look at Tottenham, they've chopped and changed in there and they've had to. You know, silly suspensions, injuries, you name it. But some of those players have had a rest, which hasn't always pleased Postecoglou. But if you look at the hub of what Villa have done well, McGinn in particular, the captain, who's a Trojan in terms of his work rate, but it takes its toll on you, and Douglas Luiz, who's been arguably one of the best midfielders in the Premier League for the first 4 or 5 months, they've played all the time. They play all the time, and I think they just looked a little bit leggy in there. And so the question would be, you know, have they got other players like Boubacar Kamara and one or two others, maybe Dindonka? Can they come in and give these guys a rest to have another go towards the end of the season whilst keeping results up? I'm not sure they can.
A lot more reflections on what we saw in the Premier League over the last couple of days on the latest edition of the Gav and Jules podcast. That will drop on Thursday.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify?
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Barcelona had their first game since Xavi announced they'd be leaving at the end of the season. That would end in victory for the host. They beat Osasuna by 1-0. It would be the young Brazilian Vitor Roque who would come off the bench to score the only goal of the game to give Barcelona the victories. Later on in the day, we saw Atleti with a 2-1 win over Rayo Vallecano to guarantee themselves 3 points. And what that means, it's as you were really at the top of the table, Atleti and Barcelona on 47 points apiece. Big game in Madrid tomorrow. Getafe taking on Real Madrid. A victory for Carlo Ancelotti's side would put them above Girona and top of the table. Here's Gemma with Xavi after the game.
Xavi, congratulations on this win. Difficult one with the team suffering, playing against Osasuna one man down. Were you expecting more reaction for your players in this game after your big announcement?
Yes, thank you so much. I think we react very well. I didn't have doubts because the dressing room is the changing room is a family. It's a family, and I didn't have any doubt that everybody ran for the team, everybody worked for the team. We are a family. We are a family, and I think we needed this reaction. So very happy, satisfied with the performance. Of course, we could have scored more goals, and at the end we suffer with 10 players against 10 players. But we are in a difficult situation now. Better situation. These 3 points, I think, will give us more confidence, more morale. So I think this is the way we react, and very happy especially for the players, also the. The supporters, the fans, amazing, amazing, the reaction, very good, very good. We need to be, you know, like a family, the supporters, the board, the dressing room, the players. Yes, I think this is the way.
So just confirmation then, Atleti and Barca remain level on points, 47 apiece, closing the gap in Real Madrid and Girona. Real Madrid, of course, in action tomorrow. They're away against Getafe. So more on what we saw then at Montjuïc. Sid Lowe is with us in the dark. Beautiful.
He stood there for 36 minutes.
Yeah, of course. Sid loves it, though. What else is he going to do with
listening
himself?
Listening to me whining about my illness.
So if only you could shut up and then we could get on with it and he could go home.
I'm actually, Sid Lowe. It's cold in Madrid. Let him suffer.
Bitside in the Metropolitano. Mario, I want to start with you first. So we were talking before this game. That will be a big indicator as to where Barcelona go now, with Xavi saying that he'd left. Did we learn anything from that win from Osasuna?
That I think they are still the same, what we were saying during all the season. I think it's not the best performance from Barcelona. They struggle to create chances. They suffer in defence against a team with 10 players, another injury. I think your key players, there are no one fit. Your best player right now is Lamine Yamal, that is just 16 years old. So I think the game we saw today from Barcelona is the resume of what we are seeing during all this season.
It's right, Sid, wasn't it? We were thinking, well, what they're going to react? What's the crowd going to be like? You know, the players going to lift themselves. Xavi talked about being the pressure off them, that they can play now freer. It was exactly the same, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's striking, isn't it, listening to Xavi talking to Gemma there and saying that he was happy with the response, he was happy with the performance, he knew that the players would react. And you look at this and you think, well, this isn't really a reaction. Exactly as Mario says, this is what we've seen for a lot of this season. Now, it is true that if you look at their recent results, they've really struggled to keep a clean sheet. So there we go, there's a clean sheet. That's a step, maybe. But the performance isn't the performance that makes you say, oh, well, it's a good job that the players have been liberated. There's a real, you know, there's a real change now. There isn't a change. And this is one of the things that I think has been a kind of a recurring theme all season. that we've talked about lots of elements. And Xavi, by the way, all season has talked about all sorts of different elements. He's talked about not finishing the chances. He's talked about not defending well. He's talked about moments of lack of concentration. He talked at one point in the season about a team that didn't have soul. He's talked about the pitch being a problem. He's talked about referees being a problem. But one of the things that hasn't really come up, and I think this was demonstrated again today, is they're just not playing particularly good football. And that, in the face, on the face of it at least, is a thing that Barcelona are supposed to do. No matter what else happens, they're supposed to play good football. And for a lot of this season, that really hasn't happened. And I don't really think it happened tonight either.
They did win.
Yeah, I know, but okay. What's the end game? I mean, I mean, apparently Lewandowski had a barbecue this week as,
yes.
as a team bonding.
Yes.
Now, you would have to question whether it was a team bonding or a celebration that maybe Xavi was going, because he's been a little vocal about it. Hasn't exactly played. No, I'm not blaming him for this, but when you look at senior players that are going to shoulder the burden for a manager who's under pressure, he hasn't come up for his manager. Right? Yep. Not this year. Last year, different scenario. This year, he, and he's not alone, but he being the big cheese, really, you know, coming off the back of his record at Bayern Munich, season after season after season after season, at a time of need, he's actually talked more about what's wrong than done something about it. Mm. And that's part of the problem. And there's a lot of kids and a lot of youngsters at Barcelona as well. And I think they don't and haven't really needed to hear some of the things he's been talking about from early on in the season. And so the whole thing really has been, I wouldn't say falling apart, that's a little strong, but it's been going in the wrong direction from very, very early in this season. This is not like something that was going along like a steam train and has hit the buffers and then just slowed down. It's been like this, as Sid has said, in terms of the performance, pretty much all year. Apart from, what, 75 minutes in the Clásico?
Yeah.
Where they played really well. Really well. And then crumbled at the end because they switched off and Jude Bellingham gets a couple of goals. Because they didn't see a game out for 90 minutes plus. But most of their performances, if you think even about the game in San Sebastian against Real Sociedad, which should have been arrested for robbery.
Yeah.
You know, they got completely outplayed until that goal at the end. So, you know, yes, it was 3 points today. Yes, it averts anybody asking Xavi, I suppose, more about will you be in charge next week or will you be in charge next game. But if we're thinking there's going to be a sudden turnaround, then I think the answer is clearly no.
Mario, Xavi was asked about Lewandowski after the game, and it was interesting how frank he was. This is what the Barcelona coach had to say about his star striker. He came out and said, we have talked a lot with Lewandowski this week. He has to give us more goals in the area. He has to be more differential in the area. Forwards need goals. Mario, if you're a striker of Lewandowski's age, experience, you know, look at everything he's achieved, how would you feel about your manager coming out and saying, yeah, we've told him he has to score more goals?
Well, if it's true that he has spoke before to him, there will not be any problem for me. The problem is that Lewandowski or Xavi didn't spoke with Lewandowski before and just tell this to the press, and Lewandowski noticed this on the press. For me, Xavi is not lying. It's one of the problems he's having this year, that he's very honest in the press conference. And the truth is that Lewandowski is your number nine and he's only 8 goals right now. Last year, he scored 23 on the league. And I don't think that this year he's going to score so many goals. So I think Xavi's been honest that Lewandowski is not fit. He's not performing like last year or like the way he's used to. And, well, I don't think there is no problem between Lewandowski and Xavi if it's true that Xavi talked to Lewandowski during this week.
I've noticed I start coughing around 6:20 p.m.
Oh, maybe you should just...
Which I think means that I shouldn't. That should be my type of clock out. because I can't get past.
I would say 5 to 6 is probably the best.
I agree.
Sid, there's been a lot of noise over Victor Roque, hasn't there? The fact that the fans have been excited that you've got this young prospect coming over from Brazil, and they've been frustrated that maybe he hasn't been given the chances that they think that he deserves, when in comparison to Lewandowski, that Xavi's not willing to make that big change, to make that big decision. Do you think what happened today maybe will change things?
I think in part. I wouldn't so much see it in terms of the fact that Victor Roque scored the goal tonight. I think it's more about the type of player he is, the movement, the willingness to run, the willingness to offer himself to try and stretch the defence. Lewandowski's a more static player of the two. But it's curious, you know, because that quote that you were talking about that Xavi made post-game about Lewandowski's position, about being in the area, about making the difference, there was a, if you like, a kind of a tactical component to that, in that what Xavi was saying is, I want him in the area. I don't want him everywhere else. I want him in the area. And yet, of course, what Victor Roque offers you, it's not to say he doesn't play in the area, but is something very different, a much more dynamic, a much more mobile kind of forward. And I think so, tonight's performance, I think, may lean in towards Victor Roque, not so much because of the goal, but because of that movement. And you're right, by the way, he was signed at a time when really and truly Barcelona couldn't afford to spend that money on him, and they've only got him registered for now. They will need to re-register him for next season because they've got to comply with the financial fair play rules. And then Xavi immediately said, we can't load this kid with the pressure. We can't expect him to be the guy that kind of drags us out of this. And he has seemed, I think, slightly reluctant to play him, which is curious because he hasn't been reluctant to play lots of other kids. I think he doesn't want to burn him. I think he may think that he's not quite ready yet, but I think this now might mean a slight acceleration of that process. But I don't think it means immediately, right, he plays and Lewandowski's out.
Mario, far from a superior performance from your former side, did you get lucky today?
Well, not lucky. They have more talent than Rayo Vallecano, and is what you just said. Bad performance, but good result. They just shot 3 times on target and they scored 2 goals, so they were very effective. Simeone made 7 changes from the last game against Valencia, and I think he will not repeat this more during this season, because the performance, as I said, it was not the best from Atletico. But now they face a really tough week against Real Madrid and against Athletic Bilbao in the semifinals of the Cup. So I think Simeone must be happy with the result, but not with the performance.
Sid, what would you like to add?
Well, I mean, one thing just very briefly to add is actually speaking to Pacho Espino after the game, the Rayo Vallecano fullback, and I really like this. I asked him about the protests about the fact that maybe it was a Griezmann foul in the build-up to that goal, and he basically said, nah, nothing wrong with it. That's just football. It's just when you're in the game, you'll ask for anything. So at least they kind of admitted that. Frustrating for Rayo Vallecano. And I think, you know, this is the big thing with Atletico, is they have played lots of games during January. They've got a cup semi-final coming up next week. Simeone, by the way, has complained that they've got 48 hours of rest less than Athletic Club for that cup semi-final. They've got the derby coming up at the weekend. Simeone has made a kind of a cliche of this game by game. He's made it his slogan in all of his time that he's been at Atletico Madrid. Game by game, game by game, game by game. But what we saw tonight was, that's a myth. You don't go game by game, because you do have to administer the effort the players are making. You do have to make rotations, and you do have to protect your players ready for the derby at the weekend. Now, we did see him make that change in the second half. We were talking about the fact that Griezmann would come on. Griezmann, Lino and Rodrigo de Paul all came on together. Koke then came on later, and we saw a much more Atletico-looking team. It will be, yes, without any doubt, a different starting 11 against Real Madrid on Sunday night.
How long is it till they turn out all the lights behind you? How long should we keep you there now?
Well, I was just wondering that, because basically the only lights on now are the ones that are there for the sake of the grass, not for the sake of us. I'm starting to worry that we're going to have to kind of get a torch to find our way out of this place, and then we'll probably discover that the gates are locked.
The good news is, Sid, you're wearing bright colours. So you're in danger of you being run over.
Mario and Sid, as always,
thank you very much. I should find a steward, shouldn't I?
Yeah, exactly. You need one of the big yellow reflective jackets. That's it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We will then be here for Getafe against Real Madrid tomorrow, 2:30 Eastern. Real Madrid, of course, with a chance to go to the top of the table.
I'm all coughed out.
Meanwhile, we talked about this yesterday, didn't we? Roberto Mancini walking off before the penalty shootout was completed between his side, Saudi Arabia and South Korea. The South Arabian Football Federation president is not happy. The coach's exit is completely unacceptable, and we will discuss with him why this happened. He has the right to explain his point of view, and then we will decide the appropriate action. Roberto Mancini, who didn't speak yesterday, released this statement saying, "I apologise for leaving early. I thought it was finished. I didn't want to disrespect anyone. I want to say thank you to all my players for what they did. They are improving a lot." Frank LaBeouf is back with... Frank, what do you make of this whole incident?
I think it's not professional, but it doesn't bother me. I mean, he felt that they were going out. I think it's not nice for the players, not nice for the federation, and you have to stay. I don't know if it's really the truth what he said at the end. I think the guy said, "Well, we lost. I go back to the dressing room and I don't care anymore." It's not nice. He would have been the coach of Italy. I don't think he would have done that.
Yeah. That's topping me over the edge.
These are the other two games then that will take place next week in the quarterfinals. Bayer Leverkusen against Stuttgart, and it's Saarbrücken against Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Jesus, man! Stop it, man! Freaking annoying me!
Yeah. I'd have done this years ago. Notts County have confirmed that Gio Reyna is moving away from Borussia Dortmund.
He played in Germany.
He joins the Premier League side on loan until the end of the season. They'll be discussing that, I'm sure, at length on the latest edition of Football Americas. Be sure to check that out on ESPN+. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show.
Stuttgart!
There you go.
Kaiserslautern!
Love it!
I'm going home.
Have you seen?
Jeez. What chance you have?
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time.
Have anybody got a thermometer?
Craig Burley's here. He's got a fever.
I haven't got a fever. I don't know, because I need a thermometer.
The good thing is, he's not mentioned it at all.
No, he's not.
He's just plowed through like a proper trooper.
What a brave soldier.
Craig, ich sprechen nicht Deutsch, you know.
Yes, of course.
Well, at least you can speak German.
Not speak German as well.
Not less much.
Stuttgart.
I mean, going through highlights, good. Kaiserslautern.
Kaiserslautern, I think it's good.
Stuttgart.
I think it's important, isn't it, to respect the league.
Found out somebody put some hot on your backside. Stuttgart. Stuttgart. Check somebody put a flame in your backside or something.
Oh, dear me. What's going on?
I'm ill. I can't. I need
to. For an ill man, he talks a lot more. Some with a sore throat.
I had a freaking cough. I can't get ready. I'm blaming my daughter.
Oh, just stay quiet.
All those kids.
That's nice. How are you, Frank? How angry was Frank yesterday when his...
Oh, I was so angry.
Frank,
good.
I've never seen you so angry.
No, yeah.
You were swearing very, very loudly.
Yes, and I'm sorry for everything. I was so upset because I had watched two games and I really wanted to be involved in the show, and we had the bad sound, and I was, very upset, and I said bad words, but not against anybody, against the technology.
Oh, I see. Didn't sound like it. Why is Craig on every game that Chelsea plays?
Oh, don't start there.
You hate Chelsea.
I don't do the schedule. Can we get this out of here?
Frank.
One second. None of us do the schedule. Some of us, like you, old Germanista over there, you phone up. I want to do that game and I want to do that. I don't want to do that weekend. Why am I not on that one? I don't make the schedule. People do the schedule.
Right.
Whenever Man U play and whenever Chelsea play, you're suspiciously on a lot, even when you're sick.
But they play a lot.
Yeah,
I'm sick.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sick in many ways, to be honest with you.
Frank, if you were a member of the Chelsea board, would you sack or stick with Pochettino? If you sack him, who do you appoint to replace him?
Well, if I was a member of the Chelsea board, I would sack myself. That's the first decision I would make. You know what I mean? Because of the bad decision we made to hire some players and pay so much money. I always said when Pochettino signed, you know, I don't know what he can do. that's a real, real problem, that they put like a gangrene inside the club, and it's going to be very hard and very long to heal from that, because the players are young, yeah, they are talented, but they need some other players to sell everything down to make sure it works. I see Manchester United like 10 years ago struggling with that. We saw Arsenal struggling with that, and it's going to be a long term for Chelsea to hear from those decisions. So I would try to stick with Poch, and I would try to spend more money to get some experienced players. The problem is the experienced players, the top players, they don't want to come to Chelsea.
Another billion.
Well, no.
Is it time for Chelsea to blow it up and spend $2 billion to start it all over again? Because it seems like they really enjoy throwing money at
problems. Do you know what they need to get them going? I really believe this. An all-star game.
Oh, yes, that's back
we need
the day,
Todd Bowley to come out. Because that really fired
him
up.
Isn't that ironic that he wants an all-star game and none of his players will be anywhere near an all-star game?
Well, that's the motivating factor here.
Oh, I see.
I'd love Todd Bowley to come out and start talking about the all-star game again. Just to go. Just get out of here. They can't spend that money again because of the... they keep seeing this P&S. Profit and sustainability.
Okay. All right. You know more about it than us.
You don't know about that?
I haven't heard of P&S. I've heard of FFP.
I've never heard of profit and sustainability.
Not in this context.
Break it on. Break it on, Craig. Break it on.
That's why Everton and Forest, profit and sustainability.
Oh, there you go.
You've not seen that?
No.
P&S.
Oh.
Get with it.
There we go. Get with the P&S programme.
Well, I tell you why. You're too busy going round going, Stuttgart?
Yep. I like it.
Kaiser's Luton. What a pile of guff.
What?
Just don't make yourself look as stupid as the rest of
them. Right, save your voice.
Because they all look
Save
stupid.
Your voice, Burley. Right, Shaka, percentage for Liverpool.
Why is it the German League? Why is it the most stupid enunciations are in the German League?
I don't know, maybe.
Why?
Shaka, percentage for Liverpool win the Premier League if they beat Arsenal next Sunday. Liverpool, of course, at the Emirates.
I would still make Manchester City slight favourite, so I'll go 47.
47-53?
Mm-hmm.
No chance for Arsenal?
I don't see Arsenal winning.
OK. Oh.
When's that game?
Sunday.
Ooh.
Hopefully you'll be better by then.
I should give Arsenal some chance, shouldn't I?
What if I phone in?
As a matter of...
How long can you stretch a...
How long
can you stretch a cough out for?
Craig, would you rather be a fan of Chelsea or Manchester United right now?
Well, I should be a fan of Chelsea, really, because I was there for a few years.
Right. Okay. But then we start using the words like sentimental claptrap.
And who's used those words?
I might believe the gentleman in front of me.
The gentleman dressed in black with the disease, illness, cough. The one that's been...
Who would you rather be a fan of, Chelsea or United?
Oh,
we just want to go home and get out of this and get away from you.
I've had a message from my daughter.
Right.
She just said, do you want shrimp tempura? I'm at work. Working with this idiot. What? I'm overworked. I can't help it, right?
Okay.
I've been digging...
For Frank, why are Caicedo and Enzo playing so badly? Is it down to poor coaching or were they overhyped during their times at previous clubs?
It's hard to explain because in a way, you know, for Caicedo, it's the first time that he plays for a big, big club. Let's say he's young and coming from Brighton, if I don't mistake anything, you have more pressure and you've been sold 100 million or bought 100 million. So you have a pressure over his shoulder and maybe he doesn't handle that properly. And on top of it, he lives right now in a very strange atmosphere and you are thrown into that and you're kind of drawn into that, and it's very hard to cope with the situation. It's why I always talk about players with experience to sort all the problems out. Thiago Silva can sort the problem because he's very smart. He knows how to handle that, and we see Badiashile and Disasi not coping with that. And it's the same for Enzo and for Caicedo. You need players with a certain experience, we can help the other players to sort out all the problems and to make maybe life a little bit lighter than it is right now, I guess, in the dressing room.
Final question.
I've just realised. You know, there's a saying that says,
we'd like the final question. Can we not do the question?
Your missus doesn't want you home early. Because you've got this stupid accent at the moment. It's annoying the hell out of
you. I woke into this.
She's already said, why is he walking around trying to talk to the stupid English German speaking? So, as you know, the saying, no rest for the wicked, right? I've just realised that's me.
What are you talking about?
Well, I've been going out of hammer and tongs, right? It's clearly my body's run down and I'm out. And his nibs, is going to Trinidad soon. Yeah.
Weren't you off work yesterday? We and Shaq were here yesterday, you were off. So it's not like you've been working every day.
What am I going to do when he goes?
Eh?
What am I going to do when he goes to Trinidad?
Imagine how ill you're
going. But I'm away as well, though, when he goes.
You're away?
I'm away as well, so yeah. So there you go. At least you won't have anyone speaking German. Craig, I learned of the Scottish term Herkel-Durkel. Is this something that would apply to another Scotsman on the FC panel? What's Herkel-Durkel?
Well, I have to say, as a bona fide Scotsman,
right.
Obviously.
Yes.
I would imagine. I've never heard of it.
Oh, OK, good.
Herkel-Durkel.
No, that's good.
Maybe that's from a different part of Scotland, up north, where the Tuchters come from.
OK, what's...
Who come from?
Tuchters.
Who's them?
The Highlanders.
OK. Right. Is that an insult? Do you want to be a...
The Highlanders. The Highlanders.
A Tuchter.
Would you say a Tuchter to his face?
I prefer the people...
A Highlander. Would you call him a Tuchter to his face?
Depends how big he was.
Fair enough. Frank, what would you like to add to this nonsense?
No. I think I love the way he said Highlanders, you know, and he criticizing you when you say Stuttgart, you know, and you say Highlanders.
Thank you, Frank. You're right.
Against the big old
Sigmund.
You're welcome, Dan.
I tell you what, yeah, Frank, he spent five years in Spain and he can't speak a word of Spanish.
There you are.
He's in here.
That's it.
Pontificating with a stupid...
Save your voice. There we go, that is it. By the way, the hardest working man in the world isn't here tomorrow either.
I've decided I'm having a deal.
Shut that up. ESPN FC will know. Transfer deadline day.
Happy days.
Excitement. Be sure to join us.